happy that among us are some Americans, young American thinkers, and I would like to give the word for his presentation to Jave Arnold. Please, Jave.
Thank you very much, Professor Dugin, for inviting me to this conference, and thank you everybody for being here to participate in this discussion. My brief, extremely condensed presentation is tentatively titled Thinking with Traditionalism and Heidegger Towards Another Beginning of Philosophy. And my point of departure is the suggestion that two of the most radically enlightening perspectives on philosophy that surfaced in the 20th century came from two streams of thought which were the most critical of what we call philosophy is. One was the traditionalist school of thought, among which I would especially highlight René Guénon, Julius Evola, Mircea Eliade, and our own Alexander Dugin. And the other was the fundamental ontology of Martin Heidegger. Now, of course, at first glance, it might seem improper or even impossible to pair these two directions of thought together. Although more historical evidence of the familiarity between these thinkers is emerging, it remains a fact that hardly any adherents of one or the other would dare cross the aisle, much less understand each other's language. The great exception, of course, being Alexander Dugin, who, while stressing that each must first be studied and mastered separately before any attempt at cautious approximation, has pointed to the deep resonance of the reconceptualization of philosophy, which follows from both of these critiques of the Western historical philosophical experience. Now, the terminological, conceptual, even apperceptive gaps separating the traditionalist and Heidegger might seem to be insurmountable. Among the most obvious, in my opinion, is that Heidegger called the whole legacy of philosophy since ancient Greece, which he saw as fatefully mistaken and abandoning of being, metaphysics. Whereas for the traditionalist, metaphysics refers precisely to the supreme language of being from which the birth of philosophy in ancient Hellas represented a kind of degradation. For Guénon, for example, it was a true complete metaphysics that Western philosophy lacked and was therefore void. Secondly, we could disclaim how Heidegger held that only the West or only Europe had developed and was responsible for such a consistent conceptual tradition. Whereas the traditionalists saw much to be abhorred in this pseudo tradition and instead held that true thought and wisdom could be sought in non-Western or pre-Western contexts. Here, however, despite these and many other, some trivial, some essential divergences, I'd like to follow the precedent of Professor Dugin's works and draw attention to what I would call some of the key signposts along the common path of the challenge posed by traditionalist and Heideggerian thought. Given the restraint on time, I'll briefly propose these in the form of three theses with some elaboration. Firstly, I would say that both the traditionalist school and Martin Heidegger diagnosed the present historical era as one of culminating decline. From the traditional perspective, the modern paradigm is the final period of the present cosmic spiritual cycle, known in different traditions as the Iron Age, the Kali Yuga, the end times. And for them, we are in the final stage of this cycle of degradation, oblivion, and the loss of sacred tradition to the point that consciousness of the very notion of tradition, of the traditional worldview and the traditional world becomes a painstaking effort against the overwhelming current of modernity and postmodernity. And for Heidegger as well, modernity is steeped down the Untergang or the downgoing, the flight of the gods, the Seinsverlassenheit or the abandonment by and of being, which both Heidegger and the traditionalists saw as surfacing in the thought of Greek antiquity. And in this common view, the history of philosophy as a whole is not a progressive ascent or some kind of round table of accumulation, but a sequence whose only progress is that of misconstruing, distorting, forgetting, attempts at recompensating, idiosyncratizing, falling away from the original philosophical logos. There's no progress here to be found from Heraclitus and Plato to object-oriented ontology and transhumanism, on the contrary. And it's this consciousness, this diagnosis, this approach to the contemporal moment that reveals the whole picture of the whole path. It's only once we realize this situation, that the history unfolding towards us, as Heidegger put it, becomes clear. Only when we step back to behold the whole sequence of philosophy in its course do we realize that something went radically wrong, and that only radical paradigmatic re-questioning has anything to offer. And from the traditionalist and Heideggerian points of view, there's nothing left to lose. The second thesis I'd like to put forth is that both the traditionalists and Heidegger intimated the necessity and the meaning of another beginning, or a newfound return to authentic being through the crisis of Western modernity and the dead end of philosophy as we've known it. For Heidegger, this means not only reposing the question of being, but re-asking how it is that being even shows itself instead of nothing, how it is that we reach die Lichtung, or the clearing. And this new beginning is the pivotal point, the culmination of the Seinsgeschichte in which we find ourselves for Heidegger. For Evola, this is the question of reattaining the very sense of standing amidst transcendence, that is the archetypal orientation of the world of tradition. For Eliade, this is relearning the world of homo religiosus, redeciphering the history of the sacred and what this history means. Guénon wrote famously that the end of a world never is and never can be anything but the end of an illusion. And the end of an illusion means that one can no longer operate by the same criteria, but must quickly come to consciousness of what position one is in and what is to begin, what is to be done. And this new beginning, as Professor Dugin has emphasized, requires a complete renovation of all the structures and disciplines of thought which have developed since the first one, or as Heidegger eventually pursued, what it means to think. And this brings me to the third thesis, which is that following both Heidegger and the traditionalist, for the new beginning, we have much to learn or relearn from returning to the source, from before the end of the first beginning to which philosophy, as we know it, owes its course. And in my opinion here, perhaps the greatest guideline of the traditionalist school is that it affirmed that the history claimed by Western modernity and the line of thought claimed by quote unquote canonical philosophy are anomalous, are incommensurable with, impoverished compared to the immense panoramas of traditional thought which man has lived since unfathomable prehistory, in myths, in mysteries, in symbols, and in hierophanies, as Eliade would put it, of diverse forms. Now, if philosophy began with logos, or rather one particular arrangement of the logos, then we are faced with rediscovering and reintegrating mythos, as well as the different logoi that it can reveal. Moreover, the traditional perspective, as well as any reading of Plato, actually, reminds us that even the first logos was not free from mythos, and that the place of philosophy is in a much more saturated context of the sacred. And here, I think it's worth noting what Heidegger said in an interview from 1969, which is that thinking requires a new care for language, not an invention of new terms as I once thought, but a retreat into the primordial content of our own continuously dying grasp of language. We can grasp this attempt in, for example, Heidegger's rereading and retranslating of Heraclitus, which is an example of one of many such attempts which is demanded by the new beginning from us now. Without a doubt, many words and concepts have been used up already and misconstrued over the history of philosophy. And it's returning to the ancient words whose understanding we've lost and in which being dwelled incomparably longer and freer than our own recent logological experiment that's an imperative for another beginning. So in conclusion, so to speak, although there can be no conclusion to this, I'd like to emphasize that thinking through the Heideggerian and traditionalist perspectives on philosophy together is not simply an exercise in comparison or in creative synthesis. It is an urgent, delicate invitation to play an active role in the eschatology, in the eschatological transfiguration of philosophy, to rediscover what philosophy could have been and to differentiate what it must finally be within and beyond our current end. Thank you very much.